Oh, let's lift our voices and praise him for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you turn to somebody and tell them to wake up? It's Sunday morning. Amen. A church alive is worth the drive, and a church that's dead is worth staying in bed. I wouldn't get up early on Sunday morning and deal with all these buttons, and some of these ladies have to do all these hairdos and get all dressed up. We wouldn't do all that just to go to a dead, dry, boring religion, would we? But we'll do it to come to the house of the Lord, where we know that his Spirit is. That's all right. Let's clap our hands. We know that God's here. We know. Hallelujah. Anybody feel the blood of Jesus in this place today? Oh, there's nothing like the blood. Thank God for the blood. I appreciate the song we just heard. And there's a scripture that came to my mind. I don't have it quoted just right, probably, but the Bible talks about by one man sin entered into the world. But as the song was going forth, I thought of the other part of the scripture that talks about by one man came the atonement. Hallelujah. By one man sin entered into the world, but by one man, God manifest in the flesh, God robed himself in flesh and became our atonement and shed his blood on Calvary. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Oh, we ought to clap our hands and thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to see Ethan here today. Which one of you guys is Ethan right there? How old are you, buddy? 11. I know an Ethan that's about 14 years old and about 6'6" and about 250 pounds. Or is it 350? I don't know. Hunter might know exactly. I don't know what it is, but we're glad you're here, buddy. Hey, you might be 6'6" at 14. You never know. You never know what could happen. You got the same name. You never know. It's good to see Hunter back here today. I'm just kind of upset that I had Isaac all alone on the front row, and he had a target on him. And I was kind of enjoying that, but it's a little bit different today. We can't just aim everything at Isaac here from the pulpit now. I think his mom and dad said, get him good. And Brother Worsh just said, let him have it. Praise God. Well, how many's really glad to be in church today? Thank God. Thank God. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8. I'm so thankful to be here, and it has been a tremendous blessing to me and my wife and my little girls. And we just love this church, the atmosphere, the spirit of this church, and your pastor. Appreciate him so much, and friendship through the years. Faithfulness and consistency. Amen. My girls, my older girls like to stay with Mimi and Poppy when they can and go to independent Sunday school. And I think they were a little bit sad they might miss football Ted today, but it'll give them some relief knowing that they didn't miss out on football Ted today. And so that it'll just alleviate it a little bit. So 1 Corinthians 16 and 8, the Apostle Paul said, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many, everybody say many, there are many adversaries. He said, I'm in Ephesus right now. And Pentecost in Jerusalem is coming up, and I've got to make that trip. But there's a great door that's opened unto me right here in Ephesus right now. And there are many adversaries. Not just one, not two, not three, but many adversaries. I want to talk about the chaos at the door this morning for just a few minutes. The chaos at the door. Let's pray that God would help us. God, we pray that your word would touch us. Let your word come forth with liberty. Let your word touch, strengthen. God, your word is not bound. Your word is liberated. Your word is powerful. Your word is free. Let your word flow, God, and speak into our hearts. Touch us today, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Jesus told Nicodemus in the book of John, chapter 3. Nicodemus came to him by night, and Jesus told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus told him, how can a man when he is old be born again? I don't know about you. I have no interest in being born again, going back into my mama's belly. He said, how can a man when he is old be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? But Jesus goes on to tell him, except a man be born again of the water. Everybody say water. And of the Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. Then he cannot enter. Everybody say enter. He's talking about a door. Let's pretend this is a doorway right here, all right? This is a threshold right here. There's a big door, and it's open today, all right? It's open. And Jesus was talking about entering, stepping into the kingdom of God. And he said that no man can see or enter the kingdom of God except he would be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The new birth, being born again. And Jesus likens this new birth experience to approaching a door. Amen. Coming to the kingdom, approaching a threshold, approaching a doorway. And it's through that new birth experience that you step across to the other side. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, somewhere in there. And there were many that came around and gathered. The multitudes came. And people began to ask and inquire what was going on. Hallelujah. Somebody asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2:37. Hallelujah. And Peter stood up, Simon Peter, with the keys of the kingdom. These aren't the keys to the kingdom. These are the keys to an old diesel truck. But Simon Peter had some really awesome keys. I could get sidetracked there. I had a funny story come to my mind. I knew a guy that he always had these fancy exotic cars, and he would show up at all the youth meetings way back in the day, and he had to show everybody his keys, Brother Worse, and it'd say Porsche. And then the next year, he had some other kind of car. He had the keys. But nobody's had keys like Simon Peter's keys. He had the keys to the kingdom. And so the Acts 2:37 said, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted in their heart as Simon Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Simon Peter stands up with the keys to the kingdom. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and he's telling them how to get to the door. He's telling them how to put the key in, how to open the door, and how to step inside this great kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Simon Peter confirmed and reestablished what Jesus had preached, that you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Simon Peter reaffirmed that. He said, you've got to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus, being born again of the water. And you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, being born again of the Spirit. And that's the only way to step across the door, to step out of the world, to step out of earthly kingdoms, to step out of earthly things, and to step across into this heavenly, glorious kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There is no other way to get into this kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There is no other message. I have no other way to bring to you today. There is no other message in Scripture of how to get into the door. Amen. I like what Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must. He said, don't marvel. Don't think it's crazy. Don't think it's out of this world or weird or some crazy new thing. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Hallelujah. There is no other message of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Shaking a preacher's hand is good, or signing your name on a church card. And some of these things, maybe some of these things can be good or helpful in some ways. But there is no other entrance. There's no side door or back entrance or some other way into this kingdom. There's only one way through the door, and it's you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Has anybody ever been born again of the water and the Spirit here today? Oh, I'll never forget the day I got baptized in Jesus' name. And my sins were washed away. The blood of Calvary covered me that day. Hallelujah. And I won't forget the day I received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I stepped across the door into a great, great kingdom. Hallelujah. There's nothing like stepping through the door into the kingdom of God. Oh, there's nothing like it. I like what the disciples in the New Testament, they called it the salvation of the Lord, the experience. They called it so great salvation. Amen. They didn't say it was just great or awesome. They said this salvation is a so great. Why don't somebody say so great? I'm just trying to wake us up for a second. Somebody didn't put enough espresso in your coffee, and so maybe you ate too many donuts, and we're just trying to shake it up for a second. Hallelujah. They said it was so great salvation. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you get born again of the water and the Spirit, and you step across this great door into a kingdom that's eternal, a kingdom, amen, that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that cannot be moved, a kingdom that cannot be torn down. Come on. It's a kingdom. It's so great a kingdom. It's so great a salvation. There's nothing like the kingdom. There's nothing in this world that can compare to the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, the joy that you get in this kingdom is nothing like the joy in the world. I'm telling you, Hollywood, the entertainment industry, they cannot give you joy like when you step across into this kingdom. Hallelujah. Come on, alcohol, drugs, there's things in this world, they cannot give you the thrill that this kingdom can. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You can feast. You can try. We're living in a world that's feasting on things and trying so many things, for looking for joy and satisfaction and thrills, excitements. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can try everything this world has to offer, but you'll never experience anything like when you step across the door, when you're born again. When you get born again, hallelujah, and you step into a kingdom that's not of this world. Oh, hallelujah. I like what the scripture said. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. We love to eat. We love meat and drink. We love to feast on things. But the scripture said that what we feast on across this door, what we eat and what we feast on, the righteousness, the peace, and the joy in the Holy Ghost, the things that you taste. Hallelujah. The scripture said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The things you get to taste, hallelujah. The things you get to get your hands on and the things you get to feel. The things you get to experience, hallelujah. The things you get to taste and feast on in this kingdom cannot compare. There's nothing in this world that can compare. Hallelujah. I don't care how good somebody's filet mignon is. I don't care. Somebody was just telling me about some certain steak. I forgot what it was called, a Wagyu or something like that. Anybody heard of that? It's like some of the most high dollar steak in the world. And there's certain kind of cattle that are across the world somewhere in Asia. I forget. I don't know. It's all crazy. But there's this certain steak. I think it's called Wagyu. And it's something like $500 a pound. Something crazy like that. And I was hearing somebody talk about it. I just actually had a big old 4-pound steak of it last night. No, I'm kidding. Not really. I'm kidding, man. I couldn't afford 2 ounces of it. I don't care about it. But I'm just telling you, it don't matter how good something is or how quality it is. Anything this world has to offer, you'll never feast. You'll never taste anything in this world that compares to the taste and the feasting of this new birth. It's a new birth experience. Hallelujah. It's a brand new life. When you're born again, hallelujah, it's a brand new life. It's a brand new existence. It's a brand new start. Hallelujah. It's a clean slate. It's a new beginning. It's a new birth experience. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve a God of new beginnings. Anybody have your birth date memorized? Amen. If you don't, that's all right. We won't make fun of you or embarrass you. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't know your birth date. Hey, I've been around adults that forgot their birth date. That's all right. But I'm telling you, hallelujah. The Bible says that God's mercies are made new every morning. I got to be careful there. That was an accident. His mercies are made new every morning. I'm telling you, we serve a God of new beginnings and opportunities. It doesn't matter what your life has been the last 6 months or the last 20 years or the last 50 years. His mercies are made new every morning. And there's a chance and an opportunity at a brand new start. We serve a God of a new birth. We serve a God of new beginnings. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing like walking through this door into the kingdom of God. Being born again. Hallelujah. You know, we can step through some doorways, just one step, and so much changes. So much changes. Oh, man. Especially last night, it was hot yesterday, and sometimes I get irritable. I know you guys don't do that, but when it's miserable hot and you just kind of, your attitude's not real good for a minute, you're just kind of irritable and sweating and hot and miserable, and you guys don't ever get that attitude. I'm just talking about me right now. But you step across the door, Brother Worst, one step into the air conditioner, and all of a sudden, boy, one step, one doorway, one threshold, and everything changes. Can I get a witness? And my glasses fog up. Anybody know what I'm talking about in this lovely, humid Midwest? The glasses fog up, but I'm telling you, the attitude changes. The climate changes. The feeling changes. I'm really not. I don't have a bad attitude hardly ever. I'm just messing today. I'm pretty close to perfect here today. I'm comfortable. I hope that's okay. I'm just having fun. Anyways. But man, you can step through a door and everything changes. I remember being at Branson, Missouri, and there's a place there where they do the Bible stories, sights and sounds. Some of you may have been there. and they do these Bible stories. They're awesome. And it was a hot day a couple years ago. And man, it was just people were just kind of irritable, and everybody's sweating and hot and miserable. But we stepped through the door into Sight and Sound, that beautiful massive building, and the air conditioner was on, so cool. And then I could smell those roasted pecans with brown sugar. You know, we're fixing to have a praise break here in a second, if you know what I'm talking about. And whatever they've got on them, I smelled those pecans, and man, my attitude was so good. I was so happy. Just one step through a door, and I went over to the corner to get pecans. I was excited, and then I found out that for a tiny pint size, just a few pecans was about $5. And then I wasn't so excited about it. No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, we can step through a door and everything changes. And that's how it is with this new birth experience. When somebody gets baptized, when somebody gets born again of the water and the Spirit, and they step through the door, I'm telling you, everything changes. Come on, somebody. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things. Come on, just a couple things become new. Just a few things become new. Just 5 things or 10. Come on, the scripture said that all things, everything in your life becomes brand new. Your mind, your heart, your attitude, your direction in life, hallelujah, the people you associate with, the things that you do, the activities you're involved in, come on, your lifestyle, your vocabulary, your thinking, come on, everything changes, everything becomes brand new when you step into the door of the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing like stepping out of a kingdom, out of a world of sorrow, into the kingdom of great joy. Hallelujah. You step out of a world of darkness into a marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody love this great kingdom of God that we're talking about? Oh, that's why we've got to come to church. We've got to be in the sanctuary. This is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We are the people of God. We are the church of the living God. And there's nothing like stepping out of that world out there. It's a world of trouble. It's a world of stress. It's a world of heartache and unpredictabilities and all kinds of things happening and going on, chaos. But there's nothing like stepping through those doors. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And when you step through those doors, it seems like everything changes. Hallelujah. Amen. The trouble's gone. The worry, amen, vanishes away. The chaos and the stress. Anybody thankful for the house of God today? Hallelujah. That when we come through the door, that there's peace in here. Amen. There's victory in here. There's a good feeling in here. There's something stable in here. Oh, I like what the scripture said. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and I will enter into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came through the door today. How about you? Come on. I'm glad I stepped foot into the house. I'm glad I stepped out of a shaky world. Hallelujah. And stepped into something that's solid and something that's this is a sure foundation. We are built upon the apostles and the prophets. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Oh, we're on a firm foundation today. It's the kingdom of God. It's the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Hallelujah. Man, I'm excited this morning. Oh, hallelujah. I need the church. How about you? Amen. This church, this pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. It's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's a firm foundation. We're living in a religious world where the church is just a place for moral support. And I thank God for that. My home church, it is a moral support, and we need it. But we're living in a world where the church is just to help and to help pick up and just to help somebody get on their feet or help them maybe make it through a day or get through something. And we thank God for that. But I'm telling you, the church is more than the pat on the back, and it's more than a handshake and pick you up a little bit. But the church is our foundation. It's the pillar and ground of truth. Hallelujah. The church is more than a feel good. It's more than a pick me up. It's my foundation. I can't live without the church. Come on. I need the church on a Monday. I need the kingdom of God every day of my life. I can't walk without it. I can't survive without it. Oh, hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm in Ephesus, and there's a great door. Here's this door right here we're talking about today. And this door is opened. The Apostle Paul couldn't see a literal door. He didn't see a literal physical threshold, tangible. But it was just a feeling. He could sense it. Sometimes you just can feel and know that you're on a door and there's something opening. You can feel it. Hallelujah. And he could just feel it in the Holy Ghost. There's a door here. There's a threshold here. And there's victory on the other side. I'm right there. But he said there are many adversaries. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a principle in the scripture that I've picked up on and noticed. I'm not the brightest guy. I'm not the biggest French fry in the group, but I have picked up on something. That when you get close to a door of victory in God, when you get close to these doors of deliverance and victory, that the enemy fights right there at the door. Amen. All the way back to the Israelites. You go way back to the Old Testament. We'll get to the New Testament in a second. But you go way back to the Old Testament, and the Israelites are in bondage in Egypt. And for several hundred years. And Brother Worst, they probably feel like they're a million miles away from the door of deliverance and victory. Anybody ever been there before? You can feel like you're a million miles away from the door, the open door, and stepping through something. Hallelujah. They felt like they were a million miles away. But there arose a generation of Israelites, Hebrews in Egypt, that said, I'm sick of bondage and slavery, and I'm going to pray with everything I've got, and we're going to believe God for victory and deliverance out of this. Hallelujah. And a generation started travailing, moaning and groaning in prayer before God. And God started working and moving. And they didn't realize it, but God was moving them and transitioning them closer to the door of deliverance. They didn't know it at first. I'm telling you, you may not know it or see it, but your prayers could be taking you close to a door. Amen. And they didn't know it. They didn't sense it. They didn't know that God was speaking through a burning bush to Moses. They didn't know God was raising up a deliverer. They just thought, man, we're a million miles away from the door, and we're miserable. We're in slavery. We got taskmasters. And these Egyptian taskmasters were beating them with whips and making them work hard every day. But their prayers was moving them close to the door. And all of a sudden, Moses shows up one day and says, hey, amen, I'm here. We're going to have deliverance. God sent me here. We're going to go tell Pharaoh, let God's people go. Everybody know that story. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of a sudden, the Israelites are probably buzzing, and their eyes are about to bug out of their head, and they're thinking, whoa, we're a whole lot closer to this victory than we thought. We're at the threshold, amen. We're at a door here, and the plagues start happening. The river turned to blood, and Egypt's getting turned upside down, and the Israelites are seeing miracles and seeing supernatural things take place, and they're feeling like, hey, man, we could be on a threshold here. Man, we're close. We're close. Hallelujah. But it was during that time when the Israelites realized that they're at the door, a great door. Amen. That the enemy rose up. Pharaoh rose up and said, you thought your slavery was bad. I'm fixing to make your slavery two times, three times, four times, five times worse. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. The closer the Israelites got to the door, the enemy rose up and made their life more chaotic and made their slavery. Hallelujah. Amen. Pharaoh put impossible demands upon the people of God. He put requirements in front of them that you got to get so much work done when he knew it was impossible. And if you don't get that done, we're going to beat you with whips and chastise you. Hallelujah. They made their bondage a hard bondage. It was already difficult, but he made it harder and more cruel. Hallelujah. Because they were at a door of victory. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like preaching today for a minute. I'm telling you, the enemy, the adversary, the devil, I believe that he lives at the door of our victory in God. Amen. And the closer we get to a door of deliverance, the closer we get to a door of the kingdom of God, there's some kind of chaos there. And there's things that happen. There's a turbulence. There's a pressure. There's an adversary there. Amen. Let's move to the New Testament real quick. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. He's talking about entering the kingdom, I believe. He's talking about people that enter the kingdom. There's a violent struggle. And the only people that can make it into the kingdom of God with this new birth experience is they have to have a violence in them. They have to, I'm not talking about hurting anybody, but there's got to be something aggressive, something burning on the inside, because there's going to be a struggle at the door. There's going to be an adversary there. And the violent are going to take it by force. I'm telling you, when people receive the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, there's a taking it by force, amen. There's an aggression, there's a vehement desire that says, I'm going after this, and I want in this kingdom, I want in this door, and nothing's going to stop. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Another place, Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, and he said, every man presseth his way into it. Every man that comes into the kingdom of God through this new birth way, every man that takes up his cross and denies himself, every man that's born again of the water and the Spirit, amen, every man has to press his way. I'm telling you, it don't matter if somebody's parents were raised in the church, or if they were alcoholics, it don't matter if somebody had a good upbringing or a bad upbringing. Amen. Jesus said, every man. Nobody. Hallelujah. I'm thankful my dad was a preacher. I'm thankful for that. I thank God for my upbringing and the godly example. But I'm telling you, there came a day in my life that I had to get desperate. I had to get hungry. I had to get thirsty. Jesus said, nobody just comes in casually. Nobody has a VIP card. Nobody holds on to daddy's hand or mommy's hand. Nobody gets a hold of a coattail. Nobody rides. Nobody has a gravy train. Nobody just sneaks their way in. Hallelujah. But every man has to press. Why did he say every man presseth? I believe he said it because there's an adversary at the door. Hallelujah. There's hindrances. There's obstacles. There's things at the door that'll try to stop you and keep you out. But every man has to press. Plant his feet and push and get a little closer and press a little closer and fight a little more. Hallelujah. Until you break through and bust through that door into the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I'm trying to break my record and keep at least 10 people awake on a Sunday morning. I think we can break it today. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. I like what Jesus said. He said, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. And he's talking about entering into the kingdom. He said, ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. What Jesus was saying was there's people that have no interest in coming through this new birth door, this new birth experience. They have no interest in taking up their cross and giving all their life to God. But what they will do is set up camp at the door and try to block and try to stop and try to hinder. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there'll be people in your life, there'll be people in my life that have no interest in living for God. They have no desire to sell out to God, but they'll try to stand in front of my way and your way and set up camp at the door and say, no, 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 no. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get that extreme and serious. You don't have to put your life on the altar. Oh, come on. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to receive the Holy Ghost. Come on. You don't need that. And am I preaching today? Come on. There's people that don't want to come in this door, but they stand at the door and try to stop and block and hinder. Hallelujah. Another place Jesus said, woe unto you. I believe it was Pharisees or hypocrites. He said, ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. And he said, you don't go in for yourselves. But them that are entering in, you suffer. You try to stop and block others that do want to come in. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I don't understand it. It's a mystery to me. But it's a biblical principle that as we get closer to the door, amen, there's a battle there. There's a battle. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been raised around Pentecost all my life, and I don't have all the answers, but I have noticed and observed this. I've seen this many times, that people get hungry for God, and they start reaching out, and they start repenting. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Cleanse me. Wash me. Forgive me for my sins. God, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. And man, they start feeling the presence of God, and they start thinking about baptism and getting baptized in water in Jesus' name, and they start seeking the Holy Ghost. And brother, worse, they're inching their way. They're getting close to the door. Amen. They're getting closer, inching their way. And right when they get at the door where it feels like, man, they're at the threshold, they're fixing to bust through and get the Holy Ghost and they're fixing to break through this. And all of a sudden, turbulence happens in their life. Is that the truth? Boy, I don't want to get off into some crazy doctrine, but amen, there's turbulence. I don't understand it. It's a biblical principle, but there's turbulence and chaos that happens at the door. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to scare anybody away from living for God or the new birth. Amen. I want to be positive today. Amen. The turbulence don't last forever. The chaos doesn't last forever. Amen. When you get to that door, if you'll just plant your feet there and press your way in like Jesus said and be violent and take it by force. Hallelujah. There comes a day that you finally bust through that thing. And the turbulence goes away. And all of a sudden there's joy. And there's peace. And there's victory. I want to preach to somebody. Come on. The turbulence doesn't last forever. The enemy won't mess with you forever. There's a peace on the other side. There's a victory on the other side. There's a powerful testimony. There's a miracle on the other side of this door. But there's adversaries. Hallelujah. Some people never make it through the door into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I've seen a lot of people, amen, they start inching their way. And man, they're feeling good. The presence of God, it feels so good. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit feels so good. But when they get to the door, something happens. Amen. Man, I've seen people, oh, I don't want to sound discouraging. I'm just trying to be real today. I'm talking about how the enemy works. I've seen people, their boss gets mad at them for no reason, right when they're starting to get born again of water and spirit. All of a sudden, their boss gets mad at them, or they get fired, or their car motor blows up, or their family gets upset at them. And there's turbulence. Man, I don't know about you. I don't like turbulence. I promise you, I don't fly much, but I pray through. I renew the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, my heart is right with God. I hate turbulence. Hallelujah. And people get to the door, Brother Worse. I've seen it a lot. People will get to the door and they're about to break through. But turbulence comes and they don't like how it feels. And so they back away from the door. And all of a sudden, life gets smooth again. All of a sudden, the boss isn't mad at them and gives them a job, gives them a pay raise. And man, all of a sudden, their family's happy with them. And there's more peace at home. And things seem better and smoother. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, once you've been to the door, anybody, if they've been to the door and just got a little sampler taste, you'll never be content and happy trying to hide and hang away, stay away from the door. Hallelujah. And I've seen people back away from the turbulence, but then that discontentment, they know there's a victory there. They know there's a door there. And so the discontentment of life and sin, amen, it brings them back to God. And they start inching their way back to the door. And then the turbulence comes. And they back away from prayer. And they back away from commitment. And life gets smooth again, but there's discontentment. So I'm telling you, amen, I've seen people come back to the door 10 times, 20 times, hallelujah, and they can't break through and press through because there's adversaries at the door. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you'll plant your feet in the chaos, amen, sometimes you got to commit yourself to the chaos. Maybe I'm just preaching to me right now. Amen. There's doors that I feel like I'm standing at, and I'm praying for to step through a door, and there's chaos there, Brother Worse, and there's enemies, and there's doubt and unbelief. Hallelujah. But sometimes we got to commit ourselves to the chaos and plant our feet there until we break through. I'm telling you, amen. I'm telling you, people that break through that turbulence, you don't have to run away the wrong way to have peace. You can break through that stuff. Yes, sir. And get peace over here. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody clap your hands with me. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said sometimes our greatest foes will be those of our own household. Sometimes our greatest foes, things blocking us and stopping us, can be those of our own household. Hallelujah. I've seen people come through the door and their family gets upset at them and there's turbulence at home. Amen. I'm thinking of a 13-year-old girl, a teenager that prayed through an independence and got the Holy Ghost, got baptized, committed her life to God, and her family was upset. They weren't happy. There was turbulence, but she didn't run the wrong way, but she pressed her way through. And on the other side, there came a day. You can sit down. I'm just picking on you for a minute. There came a day that mom and dad was patting that girl on the back and saying, I'm proud of you, Nicole. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for living for God. I'm proud of you for your commitment. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you'll press your way through some stuff, amen. Hallelujah. God will take the turbulence away. God will take care of the adversaries, and there'll be a peace. Come on, there'll be a victory. There'll be a joy on the earth. I'm telling you, the devil's a liar. Every devil in hell will try to stop you. Come on. Everything in life will try to tell you why you shouldn't do it. Don't listen to the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Man, there's a preaching spirit here. It feels good in the house of the Lord today. Amen. There are some doors we don't just casually stroll through, and I can't whistle good, but you know, just, amen. Not too long ago, I accidentally walked into Walmart. Well, I sound like a senior citizen saying that, but I parked my car, locked the doors, Brother Reed, and just took off walking into Walmart, and I saw the greeter, and then it dawned on me, why am I here? I think it's because I have 3 kids, and I have to go to Walmart like every day to get something. Can I get a witness? Pull-ups, diapers, baby wipes, milk, eggs, peanut butter. Hallelujah. Amen. And I thought, why am I here? And so I said hi to the greeter and turned around and walked right out and got in my car and left Walmart. You don't just, nobody just casually or accidentally just steps through this door. into the kingdom of God. But every man has to press his way and fight. And it takes everything within us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Nobody just squeezes in or sneaks in this place. I like what the Apostle Paul said. If someone wants to come to the music, and we'll wrap this up today. The Apostle Paul was talking about repentance. Repentance is the first step of coming into the kingdom of God. Everybody say repentance. Repentance is the first step of coming into the kingdom, getting to the door. Hallelujah. And I like what Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul, what he said about repentance. One of the ways he described repentance was, yea, what vehement desire. Which is a strong, forceful, showing strong emotion or passion. Amen. To be strong, to be forceful. Hallelujah. You know why the Apostle Paul said that it took vehement desire for him to get through the door? Because he had to lay so much down. Oh, yeah. Amen. He had to change friendships, associations. He had to lose Judaism, the religion that he was so caught up in already. He had to lose his status, his job, his career, financial stability, all his closest best buddies, everything. His spiritual instructor and advisor, Gamaliel. He had to lose so many things. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things. I had to lose everything to get into this kingdom, to be baptized, to have the Holy Ghost, and to live for God with all my heart. I had to lose everything. But he said, I count everything that I lost as dung. He said, that I may win Christ. God, I suffered the loss of all things because I wanted to win Christ. Oh, I want to win Christ. How about you? I don't want to lose Jesus. I don't want to lose Christ. I want to win Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God, I'm telling you, it takes vehement desire to take up your cross. It takes vehement desire to lay down things that have been associated in the way we've been identified all of our life. Amen. Saul of Tarsus, the way he was identified, the way he was viewed, he had to lose everything. Amen. Oh, God, I'm telling you, Brother Wurst was talking about giving and sacrificing giving. I'm telling you, you'll never outgive God. What you sacrifice. You see, there's some people that can't come through this door into the kingdom because all they can see is the sacrifice and what will be lost. They don't see what will be gained. They don't see the reward. I'm telling you, living for God, this new birth, apostolic Pentecostal truth, and this experience, this salvation, it's not about what's lost. It's about what's gained. Amen. What is lost is no comparison to what is gained in the Holy Ghost. Oh, why don't we stand today and lift our hands all over this place? Oh, God. I'm talking about the chaos. Oh, God. I'm talking about the chaos, the enemy, the adversary. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I'm telling somebody you can get through this door. I'm telling somebody there's a victory you've never tasted before. I'm telling somebody there's an experience you have never tasted yet. There is a deliverance. There is a power. There is a miracle. Hallelujah. There's something for your life that you have never yet stepped into. Oh, I'm telling somebody today there's a door open unto you. There's a door that's open. There's an opportunity. But there's many adversaries. Oh, God, I want to get through the door. I want to step through the door. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I'm here at Ephesus, and there's a door open to me right now. There's many adversaries. But he said, I'm going to tarry right here at Ephesus until Pentecost. Amen. He said, I'm going to plant my feet right here at this door. I'm not letting any adversary, any devil, I'm not letting anybody talk me out of this. I'm not letting anybody push me away. I'm staying right here at Ephesus because there's a victory here. Amen. I've tried to find an account in the scripture, and maybe I've missed it, but I can't find an actual account of what happened at Ephesus before Pentecost, before Paul left Ephesus and he had to go to Jerusalem. But I believe with all my heart, there's nobody that can talk me out of it. I say that humbly. Amen. Unless there's scripture to prove otherwise. I believe with all my heart that before Paul left Ephesus to go to Jerusalem, I believe he stepped through a door in that city. I believe something happened. Something happened. I don't know what happened, but I believe somebody was baptized in water in Jesus' name. I believe that with all my heart. I believe somebody received the Holy Ghost. I believe somebody got delivered. I believe somebody had a changed life. Hallelujah. I believe there was something that happened in Ephesus. I'm telling somebody, it's not time to run away from a door in God. It's not time to back off. It's not time to back away because there's pressure and there's turbulence. Amen. There's stress and there's things happening on the inside. There's a turbulence. There's pressure at the door. It's not time to back away from it, but it's time to plant your feet in God and say, there's a victory here. I'm telling somebody, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. The reason why you're feeling turbulence and pressure on the inside. You feel like you're being pulled different directions and there's pressure on the inside. It's because you're standing at a great door and there's a victory on the other side. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands together? Come on, somebody. Why don't we lift our voices and reach out? Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm telling you. Amen. God can part the Red Sea. God can drown the Egyptians in the waters. God can bring His people through the door. It doesn't matter what Pharaoh does. It doesn't matter what the enemy does at the door. If we'll keep praying, if we'll keep pressing, if we'll stand our ground and commit ourselves, there's a great victory in front of us. Come on, every hand lifted. Come on, let's reach out. Stretch your hands towards heaven. Come on, somebody. Stretch your hands towards heaven today. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, I wonder if there's somebody that feels a pressing in their spirit. Come on, I wonder if there's anybody that feels a pressing. Does anybody feel a fight? Does anybody feel a vehement desire? Does anybody feel something rising up on the inside? That there's not a devil in hell. There's nobody that's going to push me back. There's nothing that's going to stop me. Does anybody feel a vehement desire? Does anybody feel, amen, an urge? Does anybody feel a confidence? Does anybody feel an expectation that there's a victory in front of me? There's a door in front of me. Come on, somebody ought to step out of your pew today. Come on, if you feel a pressing, if you feel something urging you and pressing you, come on, something on the inside that I'm going to come through a door. I'm going to get through this door. I'm going to step into a victory. Come on, I want somebody that wants to step into a victory in God. Why don't you step out of your pew today? Why don't you make your way to the front? Come on. Come on, I'm stepping by faith. I'm walking by faith that there's a victory. Come on, why don't you step out and just walk by faith today? Amen. That I'm going to walk through a door. Somewhere there's a door in front of me. Somewhere there's an open door. There's a door of victory There's a door of salvation. Come on. Somebody ought to walk by faith. Step out in faith. Come on. Oh, there's an effectual, fervent door that's opened unto me. Oh, come on. The door's open. The veil was rent at Calvary. Come on. The door is open. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Come on, at Calvary, we have access to come in boldly.